We're going to be planting a church in Lille, which is right on the Belgian border. Lille is a city of 1 million people, 270,000 university students. Lille is a city that's right in the heart of where the terrorists are being recruited. The bombings in Brussels, where I went to high school. The bombings in Paris, where we planted a church. Friends, I just want to share with you that we are living in the end times. Can we agree on that this morning? These are the end times. These are spiritually dark times. We are involved in a spiritual battle. We are involved in a spiritual war. It is a war between the radical Islamic terrorists, where there's a demonic component, and Christianity, between good and evil. But how many here know the greater is he who is in us than he who lives in the world? How many here know this morning the greater is he who is in us than he who lives in the world? We will win in the end. Can somebody say amen? We're going to be planting a church there. We're going to be working with the refugees coming into France from Syria and Calais. The church we'll be working with in Calais was burned to the ground 2 days before the Nice attack. The Catholic priest who had his throat slit in front of the nuns. Gang, I want you to know this morning that these are serious times. And going to France as a missionary is not for the lighthearted. It's not for the faint-hearted, because these are times within 15 years, France is going to be an Islamic country unless God intervenes. But we know that hundreds of Muslims are coming to Christ through the refugee crisis. We know that hundreds of Muslims are coming to Christ through dreams and visions that God is giving them in the middle of the night. These are desperate times, but God is doing a great work. Can somebody say amen this morning? The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive dunamis. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Northville, in Judea, in Michigan, in Samaria, United States of America. And how many here know this morning that the United States of America needs a moving of the Holy Spirit? People ask us every week, are you afraid to move back to France? We say, we live in Chicago. Why should we be afraid to go back to France? Chris, where are you? I didn't see you. Chris, raise your hand. Royal Family Kids Camp guy. Right here. Our church in Chicago for 8 years. We've been doing that for over 20 years. We were the ones that helped start Royal Family Kids Camp in Chicago. And I encourage everybody here today to participate in helping these foster kids, because the testimonies that I have personally heard from foster kids who go through Royal Family Kids Camp years later, and now they're serving Christ. I encourage you to take your whole family. I encourage you to take your vacations. Can somebody say amen to that today? That's a $50 pledge now, Chris, for saying that. But the Bible also says we're to go to the othermost parts of the world. And gang, how do you reach a country where 0.06% of the people are Christians? You just had the McKinstrys here. I saw that you're supporting them. They're dear friends of ours in Spain. 1% of the people there serve Christ. We're at 0.06%. 98% of all French people have never held a Bible. Jesus is on the same level as Santa Claus. In other words, if I were to go to the local McDonald's and try to convince somebody to believe in Santa Claus, an adult, that's the same kind of challenge we have in trying to convince someone to believe in Jesus Christ. The number one textbook in classes on mythology in Paris is the Bible. There are more registered occult workers in France than doctors, priests, and pastors combined. France is a prodigal. They once knew God. My grandparents went to Africa in 1948 as missionaries. 60% of Africa now is born again and Christian and serving God due to the efforts of the Holy Spirit and people like my grandparents. 0.06% of France is born again. They need God. And how many here know that there is no more difficult, that's not good English, but there's no more difficult person to reach for the gospel than someone who once knew God, but they no longer serve God? And I'm here to tell you just a word of the Lord to you this morning, that if you have a prodigal in your family, that prodigal can come back to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I'm telling you the way to reach that person for Christ. You're a prodigal. You're a little Johnny who went through youth group and there was nothing for them as a college-age person. And now they no longer serve God. They're in their late 20s and they're working. They're getting drunk on the weekends. I'm here to tell you this morning they can come back to God. And it's not by putting scripture verses on the toilet paper in the bathroom, but it's by them seeing a moving of God with the anointing of the Holy Spirit with signs and wonders following. Can somebody say amen this morning? How do you reach a country like France but with signs and wonders? Stephanie in our church in Paris was born blind. We pioneered a church in Paris, 6 blocks from the Arc of Triumph. That church is still there today. Runs about 300 people. The pastor that's there now, we mentored, we coached. Ministered to drug addicts, alcoholics, prostitutes, people with AIDS. Back in the 80s, we didn't know how you could catch AIDS. It was a big deal. It's still a big deal. But we ministered to people such as Jackie, who was a transvestite, dressed up as women in the shows in Paris, knew all the actors, actresses, and politicians in France, and he had AIDS. He comes to Christ. He's baptized in water. He's baptized in the Holy Spirit. A church is raised up. To be honest with you, at that time, I could barely order spaghetti in a restaurant, much less preach an entire sermon in French. In fact, in one of my first sermons, I was trying to preach Jésus est notre champion. He's our champion, right? He's our champion. And instead of preaching Jésus est notre champion, I preached for 30 minutes hard, Jésus est notre champignon, which means for 30 minutes I was preaching, Jesus is our mushroom, Jesus is our mushroom, Jesus is our mushroom, Jesus is our mushroom. And you know, gang, people came to Christ. And a church is raised up. Why? Because you can't save anybody. It's the Holy Spirit who brings people to repentance. Can somebody say amen to that today? And that's why it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Can somebody say amen this morning? Stephanie was born blind, and to add to the concern of her parents, she had stomach problems, which kept her from digesting food properly. The doctor stated the parents would have to wait until the 6th month before trying to treat those problems. Her dad had only the Vash, one of our elders, had very little faith in God. But one evening during his service, he simply requested prayer for his little daughter and believed in faith that God would answer. When he returned home, he announced to his wife that Stephanie was completely healed, that she would be able to see. He spoke healing into her life. Gang, it's very important when you and I pray, Philippians 4:6, that we thank God in advance for what he is more than willing and able to do in our lives. By faith, we're believing that God will plant a church in Lille. By faith, we're believing that hundreds of Muslims are going to come to Christ through this refugee crisis. By faith, we believe that you can receive your healing. By faith, we can believe that you're going to be set free from depression and anxiety. By faith, we believe that you're going to be set free from financial debt. It's by faith in a living God. It's not the size of our faith, it's the size of our God. That she would be able to see, he spoke healing into her life, and he told his wife to lay the baby in her bed in a normal position as if she had not been ill at all. He thanked God in advance. They were praying persistently. We were in a church a few weeks ago in Peru, Illinois, and the pastor there, Steve Adamson. Steve stood up the Sunday we were there and announced to the congregation that his dad was being baptized in water that day. His dad had come to Christ three or four days before we were there, but here's the deal. He had been praying for his dad for over 53 years to come to Christ. 53 years. There was a young man in Brussels, Belgium, missionary kid, went to the International School of Brussels in Brussels, played basketball, began to turn his back upon God, was drinking, was partying, all of those different kinds of things. His mind was far from God. Senior year, his senior year is a trip. He went down to Spain with two other guys in 1974, drinking, partying down in Spain. And for some reason, he threw in a book by Billy Graham called Peace with God. He went to a beach by himself in northern Spain. He began to read this book by Peace with God, by Billy Graham called Peace with God. He recommitted his heart to Jesus Christ. He recommitted his life to Christ and was called into the ministry. In that book I'm holding before you here today, that book by Billy Graham. And I'm telling you, young people, you do not need to turn your back upon God. You can serve Christ all of your days. Do not let the enemy deceive you. But if you do, you can know, and we can know, like my father, a missionary, I would come in at 3 a.m, he would wake me up at 5 a.m, and he would be praying outside my bedroom, and most of the time he was praying for me persistently. You can know that within, I just feel led by the Holy Spirit to hammer this home this morning, that if you have a prodigal today, like France, they can come back to Jesus Christ and serve God with all of their heart and all of their soul and all of their mind. And here's the word of the Lord to you today. Do not give up. Keep on praying. Keep on seeking God, and your child will come home. I'm doing the Charles Greenaway thing. I'm getting 3 stories going at one time. For some of you, that doesn't mean anything. When he returned home, he announced to his wife that Stephanie was completely healed, that she would be able to see. He spoke healing to her life. And he told his wife to lay the baby in her bed in a normal position as if she had not been ill at all. The next morning they awakened and noticed that Stephanie had no further problems with vomiting or breathing, and a simple test indicated that she was able to follow an object placed before her eyes. Northville, she was healed in the name of Jesus Christ. How many know there's healing in the name of Jesus? Let's all say the name of Jesus, shall we? Now, I have some gray hair, and I see some gray hair out there today. We've just come off 2 back-to-back building programs, a 1,700-seat sanctuary in Battle Creek, and we just recently pastored the oldest church in the Assemblies of God and relocated the whole campus. That will give you gray hair. Stone Church. How many remember Paul Harvey? Paul Harvey tells the true story of a 3-year-old boy who went to the grocery store with his mom. And before they entered the grocery store, she said to him, "Now, you're not going to get any chocolate chip cookies, so don't you even ask," as moms do. She put him in the cart, and he sat in the little child's seat while she wheeled him down the aisle. And he was doing just fine until they came to the cookie section. This 3-year-old boy sees the chocolate chip cookies, and he stands up in the seat, and he says, "Mom, can I have some chocolate chip cookies?" And she said, "I told you not even to ask. You're not going to get any at all." So he sits right back down. They continue down the aisle, but in their search for certain items, they ended up back in the cookie aisle. "Mom, can I please have some chocolate chip cookies?" She said, "I told you you can't have any. Now sit down and be quiet." And finally, they were approaching the checkout lane. True story, Paul Harvey. And the little guy sensed that this may be his last chance. So just before they got to the line, he stands up in the seat of the cart and he shouts in his loudest voice, "In the name of Jesus, may I have some chocolate chip cookies?" Paul Harvey said everybody around him just laughed and some even applauded, and due to the generosity of the other shoppers, the little boy and his mom left with 23 boxes of chocolate chip cookies. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He's my deliverance. He's my support. He's my Savior. He's my light. He's my salvation. Can somebody say amen? He's my hiding place. He's my lover. He's my deliverer. He's my Father. He's my healer. He's the glory and the lifter of my head. He's my strength. He's my rock. Is anybody praising God this morning? He's my shield. He's my shepherd. He's my strong tower. He's my portion. He's my comfort. He's my healer. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He will win in the end. Can somebody praise God this morning? I'm grateful I got the little golf clap from the youth group. That's pretty good. I want to say at this point how thankful I am for your youth group. I met with Scott a few months ago, and the Michigan District, through Scott and your youth group, is paying for half of our Speed the Light car. Just really connected with your youth pastor. He is a man of God. And we deeply appreciate what he and your church in the Michigan District is doing for Speed the Light. Thank you very much. The Johnny Carson, thank you very much. We can pray, but God calls us also to give. What time do you want it back, Pastor? Don't do that to a missionary, he goes. I want to give you a Francis Chan illustration. And I'm going to ask the young lady with the scarf to come up. Thank you for volunteering today. Take that in. Yeah. Thank you very much. Are you and that guy dating? Or? Yeah. That's the pastor's daughter? Seriously? Oh, dude, did I do that right or what? I didn't know that. Okay. Okay, moving right along. I didn't know that. She's beautiful. Yeah, that'll be a $50 pledge as well. No, you are. By the way, we saw Drew in one of his first times at First Assembly leading worship, and he did a phenomenal job, a phenomenal job. He's a great young man, great man of God. This rope represents eternity. Francis Chan does this far better than I can, but let me try to do it this morning. This rope represents eternity going all the way out to God. What's your first name? Andrea, you are God today. Would you wave at your people, please? You look just like your grandmother, and that's a good thing. You see, gang, what we do in this life determines how we're going to live in eternity for God. This life is not all there is. Our lives are not about us. Our lives are about God. And this part represents your life and my life. And what we do is, and there's nothing wrong with retirement, what we do is we work hard, and we work hard all of our lives, and we save and we save and we save until just at the end of our lives, in this little part of our lives, in the scheme of all of eternity, we spend our money on our grandkids and our kids and on traveling and retirement and all of that. And all of that's great, gang. Don't get me wrong this morning. But I just want to bring some balance in our lives. I looked at the headline in the USA Today today, and it said, Justin Bieber is back on Instagram. I thought, my lands. There's something more than Justin Bieber being back on Instagram. you're a Biebs fan, with all due respect, I'm sorry, but our lives are not about us. Our lives are about God. Can somebody say amen today? And what we can continue to do for God until the day we transition from this life to the next. In just a moment, I'm going to share with you that we have given away everything to go back to France. I'll tell you that in just a moment, but people say to us, you're silly for doing that. And I say to them, you're silly for keep what in reality isn't yours in the first place. Let's give her a hand today. Thank you very much. Let me begin to close this way, that your pastor and his wife are great people. I've been here this morning and watched him pray over you, cry over you, worship God with you. This is a man of God who loves this church. Let's give them a hand this morning, shall we? Tammy's dad, Wayne Benson, was one of my coaches when we were building the building in Battle Creek. I love that man dearly. I love that man dearly. Your pastor teaches you this, that we reap what we sow. If we sow love, we reap love. If we sow hate, and I just want to become a preaching Jason Bourne at this point about the fact that there's so much hate in our country, we're going to reap hate. Your pastor also teaches us that we reap where we have not sown. In other words, some of you here today, you've been coming for just a couple of years. I met an older couple in the back. You've been coming for 41 years. And you, if you've been coming for a couple of years, you are now reaping the benefits of what these folks have done for over 41 years. Their sacrifice, their commitment, their steadfastness, and their faithfulness. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And that'll be another $50 pledge. I'm just kidding. But sometimes, gang, God calls us to sow where we will not reap. Sometimes we don't need a story that brings us to tears to give to God, and those are good. Sometimes we don't need to be brought up emotionally to give to God. Sometimes we give to God just because. Sometimes we give to God just because there's a need. Sometimes we give to missionaries in France where there's a desperate need, where there's demonism and secularism and humanism just because there's a need. Sometimes we give up a week of our year to go to Royal Family Kids Camp just because there are foster kids who need to draw closer to the Lord. How many will just give me 5 more minutes? Raise your hand and then I'll stop. That's 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. My lands, I could stay here forever. That's a Sam Reifkogel. Here's the deal, gang. We speak French. A couple of years ago, Stone Church was treating us really well. We had making a very good salary. And we left. We did the Genesis 12 thing, not knowing where we were going. And I shared in the first service, I just happened to be with Tammy's dad when he left First Assembly doing the same thing. And we would have conversations about going from success to significance. And God has called us to go back into missions. And we basically, gang, have given away everything. Everything. to go back. To keep it real, I have kept my 52-inch screen TV so I could watch the Super Bowl tonight. And my kids are fighting over that thing. But you know, there's a freedom in not having anything. There's a real release in giving everything away. We downsized from a 2,200 square foot townhouse in Tinley Park to a 900 square foot apartment in Chicago that when the air conditioning turns on, the whole thing shakes. I took 1,000 Christian resource books. I'm a big book person, a master's degree in biblical languages. And I gave them away to Teen Challenge in Chicago. And just a couple of weeks ago, they were handing those books out. I took 35 years worth of sermons and I threw them out. Because we want to be totally led by the Lord in this new season. Right now, gang, we have nothing, but how many here by raising your hand, you would know that we're having a blast. Just say amen. Because this life is not all there is. If you're over 50 today, your life is not yet over. I just turned 60. My wife is 32 years old. And we desire to continue, as you do, to connect people to Christ until the day we transition from this life to the next. For I am one, but I am only one. I cannot do everything, but gang, I can do something. What we can do, we ought to do. And what we ought to do, Debbie and I, by the grace of God in us, we will do.